Some real familiar scripture I'd like to share with you tonight. I know everybody probably knows this story by heart, but it's what the Lord put on my heart. So we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 17. I know everybody knows what that's about, probably. And you know how that Elijah had been told by God to go down to the brook Cherith, and that the ravens would feed him, and that he could drink from the brook. And then that after he was there for a while, the brook dried up. And then he told him to go to Zarephath. And that's where we'll take up in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And I got to thinking the other night, Sunday night, as we was leaving here and going home, and you know, I shared with you what me and Pat had been through, and it just this come to my mind. And I got to think about Elijah. And you know, this wasn't just a little short trip from the brook Cherith up to Zarephath. As the crow flies, as best as I could figure, Buford might know or Paul might know exactly, but best I could figure is about 100 to 120 miles straight as the crow flies. But he had to cross a river and maybe more brooks and go through the mountains, so he didn't get there in a day or two's journey. It's quite a bit of a journey. And I just begin to imagine how he had to get hungry. And probably, you know, all that walking and everything, probably lost a little bit of weight. And then I got to thinking how that we'd been in a drought. And this is the way the Lord showed me. Spiritually, I had lost a lot of weight spiritually. Wasn't nothing but just about skin and bones. Probably probably weighed 25 pounds. And the Lord told us, I've got a place prepared for you. You need to go. And when you get there, here's what you can do. You can go to the meal barrel, and it might look empty, but you just reach in there, and you get you some meal, and you take that cruise oil, and you pour some oil, and you make you a cake. Hallelujah. And you know what? Tonight, I feel like I weigh 300 pounds. In the Lord spiritually. Amen. I've got fat in the Lord in the last year, almost a year now. And I tell you what, I am happy and glad and so thankful.
Praise the Lord.
That
Hallelujah.
I'm fat in the Lord. I praise His holy name for that. And I just wanted to share with you what the Lord showed me and blessed me with.
Praise your heart.
I tell you what, I just, and I don't know about anybody else, but when I come here, you know what my, you know what's on my mind now? I will get me a handful of meal. And I want you all, let's just all get us a handful of meal. You want to? And put a little oil with it. And I believe that the Lord, when we do that, you talk about a feast, a spiritual feast, we can have one. We can have one. I love you. I just want you all to know that. I tell you what, I appreciate the Lord. Anybody got anything to do for the Lord?
I love you, brother. I'll tell you what. I mean, when you, when somebody gets up with being spiritually led, spiritually minded, gets you on the things of God, boy, there'll be this stuff begin to come to you. It'll go over in your mind. I thought about, and we got something tonight we hope be a blessing and help to you. That woman's out there gathering sticks. And I thought about this morning. I read my scripture, but it wasn't in the scripture I read, but I got thinking about Paul gathering sticks. And his experience was, when he put it in the fire, there was a viper come out. So, you know, here was a woman fixing to gather sticks and cook a meal and turn the boy going to eat and die. Here Paul was, just after getting off the boat wet, cold, trying to get right there and get some fire. That come out of the wood or out of the sticks that he gathered. And then there, the woman there, she get there. She said, first, I'm giving two sticks, or gathering sticks, but then there at the end, she said, gathering two sticks. And I went to the two sticks that they put together. Yeah. And made a tree and hung my Lord and my Savior on it. But I'll tell you, and I thought about over in Psalm 72, I believe it is, where he said there's a handful of corn on top of the mountain. Just a lot of things gets to flowing through your mind. And you know what it is? Things like that, they follow you, don't they? And I appreciate the Lord tonight. That's what I want to be preaching on tonight, is look what we're following. Look who we're following. Now this is Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he told us to be Christ-like in the mind of Christ. And we look and we think about our Christian life and look who we're following. I mean, the greatest example that we've ever had or ever will have. And I want to show you tonight out of the scripture what we're a follower. And I've seen some scripture today like I've never seen it before, because I believe it is that well that comes up out of the water, you know, that comes up out of us, springs out of us. And if it's in there, it'll spring out. And boy, now, that'd help you, that'd keep you going, that'd give you strength. But let's look tonight, if you'll turn your Bible over to, I'll give you Psalms 19. I've heard Buck talk about this a lot, and or Buford, I mean, and Buck, you know, I said Buck, but really it oughtn't make no difference, ought it? I mean, we're in this together, because I sat up at the hospital with Teddy Webb. I had him in the hand. I felt a heartbeat. And we was going home, and I said, Lou, I felt a heartbeat. And he said, I was praying. I don't know if it's mine or his. She said, does it really matter? And it really sunk down in me. I mean, I felt a heartbeat, and I couldn't tell if it's mine or his. So just like old Teddy, I mean, I'm here to preach the word of God, to be a blessing, to be a help to somebody. But anyway, in Psalms chapter number 19, let's read one verse of scripture, and then you can be seated tonight. And there's a lot in this tonight, guys. But anyway, in Psalms 19, verse number 14, it said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So, you may be seated tonight, and I want you to turn over to the book of the Revelation tonight in the 21st chapter. And You'll see where I'm going here in a minute when I get over to Isaiah. Maybe you may, maybe tonight, maybe you've never heard it preached like we're going to tonight. But with the help of the Lord, I ought to be a preaching on. Look who we're following. And you know, as us as the people of God, Bud, there's people following us. I mean, there's people that's, following us. We've led people to God. I've led people to God. We've encouraged people. We've strengthened people along the way. But what we got to have and what we need to have is let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh God, you are our strength. You are the one that we're honoring, and you are our strength. But anyway, in all the troubles and the disappointments and all the things that we go through on a daily basis, let's look to Revelation chapter number 19 or chapter number 21. I want to start reading tonight, and you'll see. You just pray for me tonight, and I get this unloaded. I got a lot on me tonight on this. But in Revelation 21, in verse number 9, the Bible said, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, or seven bowls, full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I'll show ye the bride of the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." He said, "Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and had the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." Now I want you to look tonight, as we look at this and we think about who we're a following. Look at what we're a following. Here in John, during a lot of things, John was a seeing, and the bowls or the vials that was filled with the last plagues that are being poured out upon the earth. And surely we can look around and see a lot of plagues in this America, a lot of plagues in this world. Who would have ever thought that we'd be living in a day where it's all right now when a baby's born, don't put what they are, a boy or a girl, let them grow up and let them decide. We're in a plagued land. We're in a land that's full of plagues and disappointments and all that. But John said, when he said, and he carried me away into the spirit, but what did God show him here? The Bible said he showed him the Lamb's wife coming down from God out of heaven. And I notice now, I want you to notice something tonight before we get over into the book of Isaiah. Did you know tonight that most of the time when people get married, the bride, she has a wedding gown. And brother, in that wedding gown, brother, there's one that's called a train behind it. And I've done this a few over the years, and my wife had one 37 years ago, and brother, when she come out there and stepped out the back door, and she marched right down through the, or just slowly walked right down through the aisle, the middle of the church, and that train, it went way back through yonder, and brother, and them ladies that was with her standing on this side, when she got to the place where she was, she picked that train up and she turned it around right here. And now go with me to Isaiah chapter number 6. And God being my helper tonight, I want to show you what we're following tonight. Isaiah chapter number 6. Now think about this. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1 said, he said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, cried. He said, I saw the throne. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Notice tonight, at this particular time right here was a time, brother, in Isaiah's life here, that Uzziah was the king. I mean, when he seen this and he had died, and the Bible said that what he saw was, and now think about what John saw yonder in the book of the Revelation. He said, and I'll show you the Lamb's wife, the Lamb's wife. And where did he see the Lamb's wife? He seen her coming down from God out of heaven. And brother, and I mean, you know her attire. You know what the attire of the bride is. But here in the house of God tonight, we see here that Isaiah, by the Bible, said that when Uzziah died, he said, I seen the Lord sitting on upon a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And also said, he said, and above it stood the cherubims. Each one had six wings, which two that covered their faces, and with twain that covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And notice, he said, and one cried, what is the cherubim? I believe it's this right here. I believe it's an angel of God. I believe it's an angel of God. Brother, not only an angel of God, but I believe it's an angel, brother, that's got glory about him. I believe it's an angel of God that's got something to do. I believe it's something. I mean, an angel right in the presence of God. And brother, what's that angel doing? Well, let's look right here at what Isaiah said when he seen where the Lord high and lifted up. And brother, his train filled the temple. Brother, in verse number 3 said, and what? He said, and one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Why is the whole earth full of his glory? I'll show you here in just a few minutes. He said, and the post of the door, and the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Hey, I'm talking about tonight. He said, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I'm talking about total authority. I'm talking about total glory. I'm talking about a place and a time where God's house was filled. Look here. And then verse number 5 said, and then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. He said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For why is that? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He said, then flew one of the cherubims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. He said, also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. He said, make the heart of this people fat, Gene, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered and said, till the city's wasted, without habitation, houses without man, and the land utterly desolate, and the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. How do you think about this tonight, Isaiah? Brother, this is a point in time. I can't remember remember that it was in 1990 when I got saved. I can't remember who the president was then, but it don't really matter, yet it does matter. But I'll guarantee you one day, boys and girls, just like you, whoever the ruler was or whoever was in authority then, brother, when God spoke to you, it changed your life. It changed everything about you. I want you to notice tonight here in the Word of God. And now think about this now. When you think about that train that filled the temple, that train back in the biblical days, I tell you what it represented. The train that the king or the authority wore, it was brother how long it was. It represented how much authority that he had and how much power that he had. And not only that, brother, it was a long road there. That's what Isaiah was seeing here. And brother, he said, when God was lifted up on the throne, he seen him there, and his train filled the temple. And I got to thinking about this tonight, today, and the boy just gets big. I can't get it all out, but I can see the Lord high and lifted up, and brother, I can see that train back there behind him. Hey, tonight, he's the one that's got authority. All power in heaven and earth been given unto him. And brother Isaiah seen him. He said his train, brother, had filled the temple. He said in his train filled the temple. You think about this tonight. We're following the greatest man that's ever have been, ever will be. And brother, in the house of God, John said the holy Jerusalem coming down. Adorned as a bride for her husband. And we're in the family of God. We're in this train tonight. And look who we're following. God sitting upon his throne. And his train filled the temple. And brother, I think about people getting saved during the last few weeks and so on. And praying to God we get to go in a couple of Sundays if the Lord tarries down to the river and baptize them. Signifying there's already something happened on the inside. They're just showing their families in the world and God that I've been crucified with Christ. I've been buried in his death and I've been raised again in the newness of life. And glory to God, you know what I'm saying tonight? And Isaiah said, and I saw brother his train that filled the temple. You know what happened? His train just gets longer. The train of God just simply gets longer. And brother, here he was out there and seen him high and lifted up. And brother, here are these angels, them cherubims there. I'm talking about the holy, holy, holy of God. And brother, the Bible said that one of them, listen, reached in there with his hand and got a coal off of the fire. And what did it say there? He said, when the door post shut and he moved out of its place, and he said, and when God's power and presence was there, and brother, his train filled the temple, and the smoke, I'm talking about tonight, historically one time, in the book of Joel, I believe it is, and there was a time when locusts were over the city of God, and there was a darkness there, and brother David, in Revelation, you can see, and the sun and the moon, and no, won't be no need over there, because the Son of God will be the light of that city. But brother, not only the train filled the house, the train was behind the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the whole place, brother, was just under arrest by the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, and he said in one of them, one of them angels having a live coal where he had it in his hand. And the old man of God got up, brother, one day with a live coal in his hand. And brother, he had just that live, where'd he get that live coal? Right off the altar of God, spending time in prayer with God, saying, Lord, what do I need to take tonight? And Isaiah seen it right here. He had that live coal in his hand, which he took off the altar, and the Bible said, and which he had taken from off the altar, and when the Bible said, he laid it upon my mouth, he touched me with it, and when he got touched with it, what did he say? Just the same thing that me and you said, when I got saved, Lord, I'm a man unclean, with unclean lips, and I don't only have unclean lips, I dwell in a land where there's a lot of that going on, and God said, hang on, son, I'm going to show you what's to follow, I'm going to show you what's coming down the road, and the Bible said, when he laid it on the mouth, said, lo, thus has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity taken away, and thy sin is purged. And when he saw him high lifted up, and the train filled his temple, I'm saying tonight, guys, praise God, we're following the greatest thing that ever been known. We're following Jesus. Why preach the choo-choo train and everything else? It's an attire that's worn by authority. And listen, and the longer that train is, the more there is following him. When I saw this and began to tie all this together, when we asked Donnie Bible to marry us and he wouldn't, because we was living together, and hey, we asked him 3 or 4 times and he told us no. Really, I don't think he ever told us no. He said, I'll pray about it. 3 or 4 times we met with him and he talked to us, and he said, if you'll separate and you go down to your mama's, we will do that service. I love Donnie. I do. We've got different end time views, and I guarantee you, most of us in this building, we don't see eye to eye on the second coming of the Lord. But I know he's a coming. I know the trumpet's going to blow, and I know the dead's going to get up, and I know we're going to meet him in the air with a changed body and forever with the Lord. But he said, Donnie said, I can't do it. He finally give in, and we done what he said. And when we got down there to Bible Chapel Church, in 1984, and she come out there, and that train of following her, and the more I see now, and the more I understand, boy, she's a pulling a lot. Hey, tonight, guys, I know the train sometimes may get heavy. I know sometimes Jody, with Ashley and Patrick and so on and so forth, you feel like you're dragging down. But I'll tell you one thing tonight, boys and girls and men and women, if you'll keep coming to the house of God, I'll try my best to dig some coals out of here. And when we get the coals dug out, and God lays them on your lips, and we realize we can't do it in ourselves, I tell you what God will do. I tell you what he'll do. He'll be a water in a dry place. He'll be encouragement in a dark world. He'll be bread in a starving land. Why is that? Because I know who I'm following. His train filled the temple. Smoke filled the temple. And the coals were in the temple. And he touched the man's lips with the coals that come off the thing. He realized he was a man of unclean lips and dwelled in a land of uncleanliness. But I want you to always remember, when he touched you and said your iniquity is in your sins, they're gone, they're washed, they've been nailed to the tree and took care of and done away with, never to be brought before you again. And he hooked you to his train. He hooks you to the train that represents the authority that the man's God. I guarantee you one thing. If we could see the Lord high lifted up and his train filled the temple, people, and you'd do your part and I'd do my part, and people getting saved and baptized, and classes opening up and this and that and the other. I tell you what'll happen. The train will get bigger, and we'll see how it lifted up, and he'll touch more lips. And God said this, after he touched these lips, when he heard a voice out of God, he said, "Who shall I send? Who am I going to send?" And what the old man of God say? He said, "Send me. Send me." Why is that? He seen the train. He seen the smoke. He seen the fire off the altar. And when he seen that, he said, God said, "All right now, who am I going to send?" He said, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Listen tonight. When the Lord saved you, and the Lord saved me, I had no idea where he'd lead me. I had no idea that where the Lord would lead me. Did you ever think when the Lord saved you and you saw him high and lifted up and the train and you seen the church, you didn't see a bunch of hypocrites and a bunch of this, but you seen the train that was following him. Did you ever think that you'd end up where you are right now? I mean, I'm saying, well, preacher, we ain't doing so good. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. Well, we've all got things going on. But I'll guarantee you one thing, beloved, if we stay around God and where the fire is and where the train is and we follow Jesus, we'll see greater things than we've seen. He's trained. Eugene and them are. Talk about being hungry for God. And but we're going to get ahead of ourselves a little bit there. When he said he's seen the great, he said there'd be a great forsaking in the land. That don't mean, listen, that there's anything wrong with God. Mankind is causing the train, mankind that's following the Lord is upsetting and doing things against God and against the will of God, and it messes the train up. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. If we'll follow God wholeheartedly and want to see others succeed and others do their best and lost people get saved and people of God get closer and closer and closer, I guarantee you the train will get longer and longer and longer. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't want to come to church. You know, it's this or that or whatever it is it might be. And, I mean, we've all probably been there at times in our life, disappointments and discouraging, and feel like we're getting the cave and we're the only one, like the old man of God did one day. And God baked him a cake and laid down there, had his head in the cruise of water. He said, "Hey, son, get up from there. Have you seen me high and lifted up? And if you ain't, you will. Have you seen my train that filled the temple? Have you seen the glory of God? Some way or another, guys, we've got to encourage and get people interested in God and the things of God. And brethren, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But some way or another, we've got to let people see we're following God." Look at this right here. When he laid it on his mouth, he heard a voice. That voice said, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go, tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not." He said, make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, lest they see what you're preaching, lest they see what they're talking about. Unless they hear with their ears and understand with their heart what you're saying. Because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth a confession is made unto salvation. What are you saying? I'm saying when he touches ye and he says, whom am I going to send? You'll say, here, Lord, send me. I know I dwelled in a land of unclean. I mean, I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell among all that. But God, you've touched my mouth. You've touched me, and now Lord, send me. Where you going to send me? I'm going to send you to people that's seeing, but they ain't seeing, and they're hearing, and they ain't hearing. He said, I'm going to make their heart heavy, and their ears fat. He said, make the people's heart fat, make their ears heavy. Hey, I know we're in a day in a world where a lot of people don't understand and don't want to hear nothing about an old time man of God preaching the gospel. But there'll be still some along the way that'll repent and receive the word of God. And then when they do that, they'll see people converted. They'll see people healed. And then when you begin to pastors, you look around and the trains are getting shorter. And you begin to wonder, how long, Lord? And right here's what the Lord said. He said, until the cities be without habitation, I preach if there ain't nobody. I preach if it's 10, if it gets to 5, gets to 2, gets to 1. I mean, you got to preach it. And you got to tell it. Hey, tonight, don't get discouraged. Don't get down and out. God can tie them back on. God can graft them right back in. Hook them back up to the train. We don't want to see the church go down. We want to see it flourish. And the people of God grow. And the train get longer. And seem high and lifted up, and the house of God be full of his presence. Amen. I talked about a revival at work today. And I said, we've been down Lick Creek about 8 years. Had a lot of good services over the years. But I'm still looking for that one. That stand-up service around the altar. Will people come to the altar and pray and some just come and lift. I'm talking about a stand-up service, giving God honor, giving him glory. You talk about the smoke filling the temple. You talk about the coals of fire. How people repenting over here and praying. And one getting saved over here. And one right here getting one strength. And it doesn't laying their hand on this and praying for them, helping them. And it doesn't laying their hand on them, taking them down the Roman road. And it doesn't over here praying God. I give them strength, and it doesn't saying, I know you feel like you're out of meal and out of bread, but God fill the barrel up. Don't be worrying, well doing. You'll reap a new season if you faint not. But thank God tonight, we ought to see God and the church and the Son of God high and lifted up, and he's trained with the temple full. That ought to be our prayer and our heart's desire to see the family of God grow. And then we go on right here, and he said this right here. And he said in verse 11, how long, Lord? And he answered, until the cities be with wasted and without inhabitants, and the houses without man, the land utterly desolate. He said, and the Lord have removed men far away, there'll be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Even though, guys, you see all of this and what's transpired before our eyes, that does not change what Isaiah seen after Uzziah died. After Corona dies, after all the other things gets out of our way and we change our focus and get our focus back on the things of God, then we'll begin to see him high and lifted up and the train of God begin to grow. We'll tell you something tonight, guys. The church, the train that filled the temple, we ought to have something to offer people. We ought to have something to give people to help them spiritually and grow and want to be a part of the house of God and the family of God. And individually, whatever you got to do, please do what you need to do. I mean, like I preached the other night, I can't do it. You can't do it. But through God and through Christ and through His strength and through His fire and through His power, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. He said, and the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaken in the midst of the land. He said, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten, as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When you come to the house of God, lay everything down, bring the Lord with you. Be ready to worship God. Be ready to offer the sacrifice of praise. Be ready to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us and run the race and do and give God honor and praise and glory. And I guarantee His train will get longer because the substance is in its cells. And He said, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Right here, guys, is what it's all about. It's what I've got in my hand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know what I hope for? I hope for the train to get longer. You know what I hope for? I hope the smoke gets so thick in here, the presence of God, that boy, it'll arrest us all one day. And boy, you talk about an old time service we can remember till the day we leave here. And saying all of that, I want others to join in the train. And you can look and they say, what have they done down there beside the creek? I don't know, but they're following the king, and he's got a long train. Amen. They're following somebody that's got a lot of attachments to him. They're following somebody that seems like don't matter what's going on in their lives, they're still hanging on to that train. Hey, if I could just touch the hem of his train. What do you mean? What was she after, guys? Hey, was something following the Lord as she reached out and touched the hem of his garment? Not as he was coming, but as he was going. Hey, there's something in following the Lord. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What was Paul saying? Timothy and Titus and get a hold of the train. Put it down by the seashore of Galilee. Hey, Matthew, there's that tax collector. Hey, Peter, James, and John, get a hold of the train and follow me. I'll make you fishermen of men. Peter, James, and John, to the mountain of transfiguration. What did they see up there? But they said, don't say nothing about it until I'm arisen from the dead. They didn't understand all of that. But I'll guarantee you at Pentecost, when Peter preached the word of God, it was 3,000 got a hold of that train and it began to grow. Hey, I seen the bride, the Lamb's wife. Isaiah said, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I'm saying tonight, guys, we ought to have something that people would want to follow. Amen. And I want to do better. You want to do better. And by the grace of God, we can do better. Would be Isaiah and the train, that garment that represents authority. And that the longer the train is the more authority that he's been given. Do you see my point tonight? Somehow or another, we got to get the train back. We got to get the train a little bit longer. I preached the other day, stretch your tents out, strap your stakes down. It may get rough, but if you'll build on that rock, the storms will come and you'll be there. By the grace of God, the train will fill his temple. There'll always be coals there. There'll always be fire there. If I'll stay right with God and keep my sins under his blood, live right, I believe God will give me something to lay on your tongue. Is that fair enough? and the train filled the temple.